tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. Do you hear that? I do now. That is the sound of how epic this series has become.
It finally got good.
It comes and goes in waves. Anyway, welcome Sword Art Online fans to the AfterBuzz recap show for episode 7, Crimson Memories, and episode 8, BOB, because we don't know if it's Bullet of Bullets or if it's Battle of Bullets, whatever. Who cares? It's Bob.
It's Bob.
And we have, this is just such a good part of the series. Joining me on the panel today, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
I'm back.
Yes.
Yes.
She's back. And Tari Miller.
Makinayo.
Oh, that was really cool to say the way the music ended just now.
That was good timing.
Yeah.
And my name is Megan Salinas. Oh, I don't get epic music. I'm Megan Salinas.
No, it's the ending guitar scream that Seesaw does really well.
Yeah. Guys, I think that basically sums up how we're feeling about these episodes and even just this kind of arc in general.
Like, why couldn't the whole series have been like this?
It's pretty fantastic. Liz, you haven't been here for a little bit. Go ahead and share your thoughts on these episodes, because we've missed having you.
Yeah, I know. I've missed everything and missed talking with you guys too. It's been really awesome to watch this series. I mean, I was here for you guys, I think, like 2 weeks ago for that one, and Like you guys were saying, this so far the last several seasons of Sword Art Online have always had its ups and downs, and like, but it's so different from what we have been talking about, and there's so much cooler plot and character design, and like, oh my god, and like, I'm trying not to like watch too far ahead because I know I'm just going to forget and mix up, but it's so good, so good,
yeah. And okay, guys, thoughts on these particular two episodes, because there's a lot of really interesting character stuff in these two episodes.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's Scream.
It's Scream.
If you've seen Scream, you can see what we're getting at here.
It's these two episodes were so fun, especially because like we've had some, like you said, some episodes are a little lull, you know, not LOL, but lulling.
Like a little lull in the action.
Exactly, right. Lull in the action. But then, of course, what I like about this series is that when there are those kind of duller moments, it's always for purpose, because then we're going to find out more character development or background story that is definitely relevant to what we need to know before it goes on. So that's why it's like every episode is really fun. These ones, I feel like 7 was a little bit more developy talky than 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
But again, it paid off, and now we recap 2 episodes. It's always fun, so yay.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about 7 is that, like, I mean, SAO is known for its beautiful action sequences, but this time you're like, hey, we're going to spend some time with some characters and actually, like, feel for them.
Exactly.
And, like, share these moments.
Instead of having, like, I don't know who this person is. Oh, God, they got shot. Do I care? I don't.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, for as pretty as the series is, because it's absolutely
so
gorgeous, there are definitely
like
those
Kitty
scenes.
Hair.
His long, flowing, beautiful hair.
The one part, and I think it was this episode where it just, like, fell for it, and then he's like...
He's just so annoyed by it. But for as pretty as the series can be, there isn't always that meat behind it. And here, there's definitely a lot of weight to everything that's going on, and I just absolutely love that. So let's go ahead and dive in, and let's start off talking about Episode 7, Crimson Memories. And we see somebody we haven't seen in a bit, as Kirito in the real world, as Kazuto, is talking to his sister, Sugu. And I really did like this exchange, because she's like, hey, you know, there's this big old tournament going on in this game called Gun Gale Online, and it's really funny. You see this little article that says Kirito.
Yeah,
that is
that
so
you?
Funny.
You
it's
the real
just
deal.
Someone else using my name. Are you sure?
Yeah, I think And then in the part where she's like, because I was about to, like, when I found out that you were on my friends list, I was going to burst into your room. But then I realized that there's probably a reason you wouldn't have just, like, gone to a different game for no reason. But
so I called your girlfriend.
Yeah, so I called your girlfriend. I'm laughing, though, because that entire scene reminds me so much of, like, everyday social media. Mm-hmm. Like, why did you block me off Instagram? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you on my friends list? Did you go away? What's going on? Are you having problems? Like, that's exactly what
reminded me of. Oh, my God, you didn't like my Facebook status. What is up with that?
Yeah. No, it was just, but just the fact that she was so upset. Like, you weren't on my friends list. Like, I just, and then she said something about, like, I had a feeling and I knew, so I checked. But it's like, what, did you have a sixth sense? Like, there's something wrong. There's a disturbance in the force.
My Kirito sense is tingling.
Yeah.
Well, my brother's doing something stupid again.
What I like, and I really wish, as much as I'm enjoying this particular arc, I don't want to just forget about all the characters that have been built up. So I do like that even though they're not really necessarily allowed to do much in this arc, they're still around and they're still smart. They still know when something's up.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that near the end of the series, perhaps we're going to need the old gang to come back and maybe everybody's going to have to revert their characters to Gun Gale to kind of help Kirito. Like, I mean, we've even had a little... If it is foreshadowing when Asuna was like, you know, later in the episode, like, if you need my help, I can convert too. You know,
For those of you listening to the podcast, our awesome engineer, Stephen Lemieux, our booth guy, he put up a wonderful little Photoshop of Kirito doing hashtag selfie with Death Gun, and there are lots of little hearts.
I like the little blush marks, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, but
it is Scream.
But like I said, I do think that I'm hoping that that was some foreshadowing that the characters that we all know and love might have to actually do that to help them later on in the series, so that we'll see what happens with
there,
that.
Go ahead.
I feel like that might undermine Shinon's participation in all of this, because a lot of this is her story. She's the one that's been building up to it, and Kirito's just the catalyst that brought the camera to Gun Gale.
And I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm sure she of course is going to be a very big character that's going to come into a lot of play, but I'm saying at the very end of it, I would think at least a couple of key characters might come in to help, even if they're only helping on the outside while the battle's going on the inside.
Right. And
go ahead.
Sorry. And if it helps you, not to go into spoiler territory or anything, but there is a chance that that in the next couple arcs, not necessarily the Gun Gale arc, but like in the latter half of the series, they're going to play a much bigger role.
Okay, well, I saw the link you tweeted.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like looking at Tari's face and I'm like, it's so smooth.
Like a baby's bottom.
I don't know how many baby bottoms you touch, but yes, something along those lines.
But
okay, that was fun.
Zero.
That was weird. Anyway, but it is interesting that you bring that up, because he does talk to Asuna, and they have this moment where, you know, he's FaceTiming with her essentially, and
it's so cute.
And he's just like, I just wanted to hear your voice, because he's still really shaken. And she does extend the, oh, you know, if you need my help. And he, because he's our shonen protagonist, he's like, no, I've got to do this on my own.
Yeah. That's also, he doesn't want to put her in danger. This is a situation that's very serious.
Yeah, no, there's a guy running around killing people. You don't want to put your family and friends, you know, in the line of fire, literally.
So I'm just going to face it alone, and that way they won't be able to watch out for me or help me if anything goes down in the real world while I'm in the game. Yeah. Wait.
Well, if she was there, though, like, he's already suspicious enough having the name Kirito. She's definitely not going to change her name either.
If they're both hanging out together,
they definitely know it was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do just like these moments with him and Sugu and him and Asuna, because they definitely know something's wrong, and he's still not telling them. He's still like, I promise I'll come back. You know, this is no big deal, even though it's totally a big deal.
Yeah, and I like that Sugu gave him the credit. Like, I know that this isn't something you would do unless there was a very good reason for it. So it's kind of like that support system where it's like, I know you're not saying things, and we know you enough by now that it's something to protect us from something, but just know we have your back when you need it. Yeah. So that's what's always nice. We're developing these, like, oh, it's like real people in real life.
Yeah. I just adore that his sister knew something was wrong. So rather than confronting him when he's obviously not going to tell her anything, she goes to his girlfriend. Yeah. Like, hey, so that guy you're dating, what's going on? He's being dumb and won't talk to me.
But you hit the nail right on the head about why this episode is so great is that they're acting like real people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they're human beings.
It's like they're regular relationships where they have like a real boyfriend, girlfriend that are actually real boyfriend, girlfriend, and a sister who actually acknowledges her brother as her brother. So that's nice.
Yeah, and just the dynamics that come into play with this, it feels so real. And honestly, these two episodes, or even the past couple episodes, are the most I've ever felt for Kirito.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he feels fully developed at this point, and I adore that.
He's still a shonen protagonist, but he's also a people. And I think this is like the first time in the series that I've actually considered him as a people, not a shonen protagonist.
And can I just say, in this episode, I died laughing for a good like 2 minutes solid, just when I think it was the end of this episode. He's walking through, and everybody's like, oh, it's Kirito. And they walk aside, and he just, like, looks, and they're all, oh, and he's like, root for me, sweet luck. And then he's got, like, the 1 foot up, and I'm just like,
You know, Shinon's over there going, ugh.
It just shows this part, again, it's a side of him where we're seeing the more goofier side, where he's just going to play into it, because it's like, okay, well, if people are going to look like a girl, then I might as well play it up.
He knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. But meanwhile, while he's, you know, having this talk with Sugu and with Asuna, Asada is having her own talk, and it's less of a talk with Shinkawa and more, I'm going to kick the playground equipment and vent my frustration because I really hate that guy.
And again, so real. Like, I mean, everybody, this particular scene I love so much. It's like an individual who's going through a lot of stuff. She's just venting. I had so much connection with her as a character in this one scene more than any characters I ever have right now, because she's going through so much stuff. I always just vent everything that's wrong to anybody who's willing to listen. I will talk to a wall, but if you're there, great, because then I look less crazy. And then he's even like just saying, wow, I've never seen this part of you. She's like, sorry. She's just, oh, I'm so miffed. And then the whole confession of his feelings and her being conflicted, because it's like, it's not that I don't have the ability to like you, but right now it's just not a good time.
And that was really something that was very interesting to watch as well, because just like that whole, like, I want, you know, I want
like,
to
wait, to be patient. And she didn't say no. She said, be patient, because I will, you know, I can, you know, what's the word?
Are you willing to wait for me?
Yes.
And he says, you know, yes.
Bro, I don't have issues. I have a subscription. Let me get rid of this, and then we can talk.
Exactly.
That was basically it. It's like, and it's her understanding that she is not stable enough, and that her priorities are elsewhere, and that trying to handle a relationship on top of that will be stressful for both of them and will destroy it before it starts.
But look at
how she understands herself.
But look at how now, with Kirito being part of this and her life, so to speak, she is, because of
making
this,
making finger guns and not
she
freaking
is,
out.
Yes, she is growing as a kid. She's been at
her hatred of Kirito is curing her PTSD.
I
mean,
just being able to do this, it's great. So
I would not recommend that as therapy, by
no.
the way. You want to talk to a licensed practitioner and not a shonen protagonist.
But yeah, I just really liked it, and that whole scene, and showing that her thoughts elsewhere, she's developing more as a person outside the game too, and trying to, you know, leave and get over some of these things.
Well, it harkens back to, you know, again, that whole what you do in the virtual world affects who you are in the real world. Mm-hmm. And it's just harkening back to that. And we see that is
just like the word harkening.
Harkening.
Well, and again, this is mostly her story, but Kirito is the catalyst at this point that's causing change, that's brought the focus into Gun Gale. All that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Although, go ahead.
Go. Keep on going.
I was going to say, although we are still very suspicious of Shinkawa.
Yes.
Again, if we're going with the Scream parallels, he is Billy Loomis in this scenario.
And everyone who hasn't seen Scream is like, what are you talking
about? Yes, spoilers.
Do yourself a favor and watch Scream tonight if you haven't seen it.
It's Halloween.
Even if you're a horror movie wuss, you can handle it. I'm a wuss. I handled it. Watch Scream.
Yeah.
And then realize how right we are with this.
I don't know what you guys talked in the last recap episode, but like, yeah, his character just, he's never, I mean, not like there's a lot of characters we don't see at the same time either, but it's like, where was his character when he was rooting for her in the last couple episodes when Kirito ran into the guy who
he was actually
there,
right there.
Yeah,
but
so our theory is that Death Gun is three or four different people trading the avatar with each other whenever
they need to. Because they've established that you can do that.
And someone working on the outside to do the murders in real life at the same time they're happening in game.
Yeah, we think that there's an element, that there's one person, at least, who is working on the localized Japanese server team for Gun Gale Online that's pulling people's personal information.
And we know that Laughing Coffin is involved in this, and that's more than one person.
I was going to just add on, piggybacking off of what you guys are saying. Something that he said when they were talking is that he I don't remember the exact quote, but it was like, you've been through the same thing as me.
Yes.
And I was like, so you've killed people, eh?
And I think it would have come up if he was an SAO survivor.
That's what I was just about to say. I was going to ask, like, has it been established how long she's been friends with him? And if if he was in an SAO.
The only thing that's been established between the two of them is that he got her into Gun Gale Online and that he looks out for her in the real world. Mm-hmm. That is all we have.
Yeah, we don't know if they got school together.
But yes, if that is the case, then it's very probable that he's an SAO survivor and that he is Death Gun.
It's also possible that Laughing Coffin recruited him afterwards.
It's also possible that he actually just had a similar situation with her, in that he had something terribly traumatic happen to him, and that he had to get over it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
She kills people in game. He kills people in real life. Yeah, this is a great relationship.
if that is the case. But anywho.
I'm going to stick with that until we're proven wrong. And if it turns out that he's a good guy, I'm going to feel like a complete jerk.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that if he actually is a decent human being, then yeah, we're going to feel really bad.
Well, this is awkward.
We thought you were evil.
Was this
like
the episode with the nurse, too?
That's what we're moving on to next. Is, meanwhile, after this exchange, Kirito goes to the hospital and confides in Nurse Aki. And, you know, he's doing the same thing that he was doing with his sister and his girlfriend, in that he's, like, trying to keep it all in. But she can tell implicitly that something's wrong, and so...
And not to mention, she's somebody who doesn't... She's not a gamer, so she's kind of, like, a good outside perspective, in the sense where she's not them, so she's not going to jump in the game and risk her life, but she also knows what's going on.
Well, and she also has to deal with her own stuff, being in the medical profession. Yeah. When you're in the medical profession, sometimes you make choices that, you know, where... You have to choose who lives and who dies.
Exactly. Although as a nurse, though, a lot of those decisions, I don't believe, are really in her hands. It's really a matter of just having to deal with the fact that there's going to be a lot of loss.
It depends. Honestly depends on the situation. Nurses do a lot they don't get credit for.
Yes.
It's true.
Nurses are awesome.
True story. But anyway, so he ends up confiding in her. And he's like, I don't even know two of their names. Like, I forced myself to forget. I had a duty to remember. Like, do you think it's even possible to forget if you want to forget? And she's like, you know, sometimes I think if you really want to forget, you know, eventually the mind will allow you to forget.
But if it's meant to be remembered, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah, and trying to, like, wishing harder and harder to forget something will only cause you to dwell on it more.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, about it. I mean, how well did you really know all the names of the characters that you fought in that battle that were in Laughing Coffin? And in the midst of the battle, if you focus hard enough, you could probably read their avatar name real quick when you're looking at their lifeline. But it's like... You're fighting for your life. Don't worry if you can't read something for 2 seconds, and then by the time you do, boom, it's gone, and you can't remember their names. Not to mention, if anybody did survive that battle, it's like, then they're in this world. They don't necessarily need to be going using their same avatar name.
Well,
so.
That was part of his issue, though, is he felt like he also... He felt like he had a choice to take them dead or alive, and he chose to kill them for the sake of his own life.
Yeah. They weren't going to surrender.
Well, of course they
really
weren't. But
and they did.
From his perspective.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
And he's... keep in mind, he's still a young man.
At this point.
And he is the type to blame himself for everything, as we've seen for other various things that happen in this series. He is the type to blame himself when things go wrong.
Yeah. The downside of being a shonen protagonist.
I'm going to have a dollar more take a shot every time you say that word.
You're going to
be drunk by the end of this episode.
Our panel will have its own little drinking game, because we had a drinking game when
alcohol poisoning by the time we're done.
We had a drinking game when he was an ALO, every time he like face plants into something.
Yeah. Yes.
But now it's every time Katie says shonen protagonist, or Dot Hack. Take a shot.
But she basically
or Dot Hack.
Oh,
you know what I learned from Dot Hack? The series, the sequel.
There we go. Anyway, but she's able to. She's like, look, I don't come from the same background as you, but surely, like, if you felt the need to take these people's lives, it was because you were
protecting
fighting for
somebody.
Something.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, yeah, he was protecting his own life, and you can't help anybody else if you're not alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, for when he killed Coradil. And definitely. And so he's able to he's like, look, you're going to carry this burden for the rest of your life, but you don't have to let it change who you are or
exactly.
something along those lines.
Yeah.
But,
that's about it. I was going to ask is if when I watch the two episodes back to back, I always get messed up in the sense where I might mess up and start talking about the next episode.
Yeah, the events get a little jumbled.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's at this point where it's really big and they're doing all the votes and stuff. And again, I'm very interesting how as much as she's claiming that she hates him, she's still helping him out a little bit.
That's jumping ahead a little bit.
That is jumping ahead. Okay. There we go.
Just to jump back really quickly, I loved that when they were embracing you saw the same balloon that went out of the kitchen across the window.
That was sweet. That was a nice little
it was a connecting
metaphorical
moment.
Kind of background.
Cue the music from Up.
Yeah.
Watch everyone cry.
Because we didn't feel bad enough already.
Right.
Nope. But that was a little beautiful, and again, this is a visual medium, and that is perfect. What?
I'm sorry. When you guys mentioned Up, there's this video on YouTube. This is totally relevant.
Is that Michael Bay?
Michael Bay does Up, I can't. Anyway, going back.
Anyway, to go back. So he logs into GGO, but we cut back really quick to ALO, and we definitely see that we see a lot of familiar faces. Klein. I've missed Klein.
Yeah. I love Klein. Klein is still my favorite.
But we see them fighting a monster, and we see Asuna is very distracted. So after they defeat it, they're like, hey, let's go watch that tournament, which I don't know. I didn't know that you could watch.
Well, they could just meet up in Akil's or a bar or whatever.
No, they're
watching
in-game.
But
they're all connected.
Yeah, all of them are connected. That's how they can.
World seed,
which confuses me again as to why Kirito had to revert his avatar in order to play GGO
His skills translated over.
Just because you can get cable from China doesn't mean you can speak Chinese.
Yeah, no, I know. I was confused by that. But because if he went vanishing to play the other game, all his stuff and everything in the other one, that's when Sugu said, you're not on my friends list anymore. It's like he doesn't exist on that server. Period.
It's kind of like when you delete your Facebook account, I think, in that it doesn't actually get deleted. It just gets deactivated. Mm-hmm. And then so when you come back, you can reactivate and everything will be as it was.
Right. Yeah, so it's only if they go to play another game, then... Okay, I understand now.
Okay, there we go. But anyway, so they're going to watch the tournament, and in Gun Gale Online, Sinon and Kirito... Actually, we miss an elevator scene where Shinkawa, as Spiegel, is like, hey, what you said? And she's like, do not talk to me about this right now.
This is the worst possible timing. No,
I'm focusing on how to shoot people and not be shot. I do not want to think about this.
And he's like, okay, I'll be rooting for you then. And that's when she and Kirito meet face to face again. She's like, I'm not going to lose no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's how this episode wraps up. So before we hop into episode 8, we want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes.
Is it about iTunes?
Okay. iTunes! Yes. Guys, thank you so much for going to iTunes and leaving a comment. We love to hear your thoughts on this series. We love to hear your thoughts on what we talk about here at AfterBuzz. And the people behind the scenes, they put out 80 hours of content a week. That means that they work round the clock.
You should
bring
see
you this
the
entertainment.
Bags underneath Stephen Lemieux's eyes. I'm kidding.
They work so hard. Our booth guy works so, so hard to bring you guys this content for free. So it really means the world to us. If you go to iTunes, rate, leave a comment. Hopefully 5 stars. And we really appreciate everybody who likes and comments on YouTube as well. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being spoiler free and continuing to do so in the future. So thank you guys so, so much.
Yay. We appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. All of that things. So let's move on to episode 8. Bullet of Bullets or Battle
Bob.
Of Bullets. We're just going to call it Bob.
Yeah, so. Zoom through Bob.
But yes, so it starts off with Sinon and Kirito, and exactly what you were saying, as much as it annoys her, he still needs her help, and she
and
still feels the need
to
give it.
Did you read the email that they sent out explaining all of this?
And also,
I skimmed it.
And also, to be fair, though, it, like, you know, you wonder why she would help him, but at the same time, because she does want that fair chance of properly beating him, she is going to help him. Like, if you're going to be that much of an idiot and have to make me fill in your gaps, fine, because I'm going to beat you fair and square.
His tech support's worst nightmare. I have a problem. Did you read the email?
Is it plugged in?
Stop. If it weren't plugged in, they wouldn't be able to send emails. Yes. But I need to turn it off and on. A tech support is my day job. Anyway.
I do absolutely love how she's like, you made me do this. I picked out your weapon for you.
Yeah. Your stupid little sword, bringing a sword to the gun battle like you're cool or something.
Yeah, all this stuff, and he still needs help. But you're absolutely right. She wants to give him that fair chance. So when she shoots him in the face, she can say she did it honestly.
Yes. So she explains the whole tournament to him and basically goes, okay, this is how it works. It's melee.
But we needed that scene anyway, because it's not going to be very fun to watch somebody like read an email and explain it to us as viewers.
Well, we need that. And the important thing is that there is a satellite that goes around that takes down everybody's location.
Every 15 minutes.
So you can only camp for 15 minutes.
And then there's an interesting aspect that we find about that afterwards, later on in the episode with Kitty Doe. You're swimming naked.
If you run around buck naked, they can't find you.
That's the only reason the character was created with long hair, just so we can have those scenes swimming where there's enough censorship where it's like, it works.
That was a pretty hilarious scene. It was just like, oh, the one guy who's going to run around naked.
So logical, too. Like, well, I just put all my stuff in inventory.
And then including my outfit.
Whee!
Yeah.
Because that works? Yeah. Whatever, it works. Anyway, so basically what he does is, the thing that he's really more interested in is, so you've been in this tournament before. Do you see any players that you don't recognize? And so he has Sinon look through the list, and sure enough, there are three quote-unquote mystery players.
Pale Horse is one of them.
Pale Rider.
Pale Rider. Thank you.
Pale Horse.
Pale Rider. Sounds like a beer.
Go ahead.
It might be.
This is a side note, but can we note that, like, one of the contestants in B.O.B. is Jack Reacher?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a fun little nod.
Yeah. And, like, it's funny because that character is super Kirito-like, or I guess Kirito is like that character in that he's owned by...
Help me, who's Jack Reacher?
Jack Reacher is a character from an old show and was recently remade with Tom Cruise.
It's a bunch of Tom Clancy novels, isn't it?
What is it called?
Jack Reacher.
Yeah. Well, movie. Okay.
Jack Reacher is a character in several Tom Clancy novels. Yes. Like, I think he's in The Hunt for Red October and stuff like that.
But you know that if this was realistic, every single character would be Cloud XX or Sephiroth, Nova X. God.
Seriously.
Sailor Moon 1-2-3, Crystal Power. I don't know.
Booth Guy, what would your username be?
We all have one of those usernames.
I don't know. I always had, like, Megu or Record or something like that. It was weird.
Nice. I'd probably go with Megatron.
Nice.
That would probably be taken, though.
Lord Megantron.
But no one would take that. Anyway, so basically there are these three mystery players, but Pale Rider is the one that really stands out for anybody paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Because the Pale Rider is death. Could you be more obvious?
Well, apparently
not.
apparently it ends up not being that. Not to jump ahead, but so basically the tournament starts, and what follows is a pretty fun little action montage. And I love that Dine is in this tournament because he just comes in swinging on a vine, like shooting a machine gun, and he just looks like he's having so much fun.
Wasn't Pale Horse at Pale Horse? I'm gonna call him that all episode. He can't even get his name right for the one episode
he's in.
Pale Rider. Doesn't Pale Rider just wipe the floor with him?
We get to that. Yeah.
And I do like the scene and how smart Sinon is, in the sense where she's trying to, you know, snipe a guy, misses the chance to hit him in the head, and says, oh, wait, he has grenades at his belt.
Yeah, smart girl.
Very clever, really awesome. And again, we get to see how she was explaining to Kirito, like, he's like, isn't that a problem for a sniper? Well, no, I can easily shoot somebody and then change positions all within 15 minutes. That's not an issue.
And he was really disappointed by that. He's like, ah, that's bad for me.
Yeah.
But so as that's going on, and we see some of the other players that are going to be an issue probably later on down the road. Like one guy has
giant
like this
dude,
crazy,
the heavy one.
Crazy gun, and he doesn't need to move. He's just going to stay there.
Yeah,
because
he's
of
got
the
a submachine gun.
Yeah. You don't need to
he
move.
He just camps and murders people.
Pretty much.
Care. Yeah, and he's also probably one of those guys that are just very slow, where even if he were to move, it would probably just be at his disadvantage.
Right. Yeah, so. Because it's so heavy. But we do have Dine running away from Pale Rider, and they're the closest to Sinon. So she's like, I'm going to take these guys out. When, just as she has Dine in her sights, who he's simultaneously taking aim for when Pale Rider comes up, Kirito steps in, and he's like, look, we don't have to fight right
don't
now. Please don't shoot me. Just hear me out. I have a proposition. We sit and wait for this to be done.
I need to watch this.
Yeah, we need to watch this, and then we can go back to trying to kill each other.
Like, and yes. Then you murder the winner, and I leave, and the next time we run into each other, it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, and it's
cool?
Fair as
cool.
Yeah.
And she's not happy about it because she still hates this guy. But she's like, oh, fine, okay, we will just do that then. And so sure enough, Pale Rider comes up looking like the Meta from Red versus Blue.
Yes,
because
yes.
He's
like a very thin, athletic Meta. He's running all over the bridge cables and flipping out of the way.
He reminds me of the guy from, oh God, Vega from Street Fighter.
From Soul Calibur.
No, it's Soul Fighter.
Which one are you talking?
Who's Vega
the
from?
One that, like...
With a mask. And he's, like, really pretty
face.
Oh, no,
that's Street Fighter.
Yeah. That's Street Fighter.
What's the one from Soul Calibur
I'm
thinking of?
I know who you're...
All in bandages, creepy acrobatics.
Yes. No, but I Vega.
His name, but yeah.
He reminds me of Vega and, like... Yeah, like the guy that you said. But again,
commenters will tell us.
I can't think of his name. You're losing your nerd
help
cred.
Me.
But anyway, yes.
Yeah, but this entire scene, it's so amazing again. Like, just to see... Valdo! Wondering if this guy is also a player from a different game where, you know,
because he looks like he has a lot of sword skills.
Fast.
Because he's got a rifle, but he's got like a little full-time
thing. Like a sword.
Yeah.
I mean, his outfit looks like one of those outfits you use when you're fencing. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Right. And he definitely looks like in real life he does parkour or something. But he's able to take out Dine relatively easily.
Yeah.
And again, he just looks fantastic as he does it because he's jumping to and fro.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets shot with some sort of stun gun, and lo and behold, our theory of him
out
being Death
Gun.
Out from
the shadows comes Death Gun. Just
and that
like,
scene was so creepy, just the way Kirito's like, how long has he been standing there?
Because, like, they didn't hear the shot go off.
No, not even just that, because even after they were trying to figure out, because it took, like, a couple minutes before we realized and they zoomed in that it was a stun gun. They don't know why he was still just laying there, that he wasn't dead yet.
They didn't hear a shot, but this guy keeled over anyway.
Yeah.
And then when they see him come out of the shadows, Kirito sees him pull out the gun.
Which is a very special legendary sniper rifle of some sort.
Yeah, it's a sniper rifle with a built-in silencer.
Yeah, but the silent assassin.
But then the guy puts it away, and he pulls out his handgun instead.
The gun.
And that's when Kirito starts to freak out, and he's like, look,
we have to
take him out now before it's
shoot
too
him
late.
Before he can shoot that gun.
Yes, because obviously we know he's freaking out, because that means that guy's going to die in real life.
Exactly.
Right.
So that basically wraps it up for episode 8. Do you guys have any final thoughts on
what are we to end it?
Do you guys have any final thoughts or predictions really quick? Because we haven't watched ahead. We don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Laser light show?
No, next time.
I think that I can't wait to see the theories on like which characters. I wonder if the guy that is about to get shot is a character from a past game that we've heard of or known about. And I really... Oh God, I don't know. I really want more confrontation with this Death Gun guy. I think that's coming. I want a mask to slip off or something. I want more of the laughing coffin thing. Anything. Go.
I mean, I'm assuming that she's going to take the shot. He's going to get away, or he's going to kill the guy before getting away. They're not going to get him now.
No, it's too easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
It's Scream. It's multiple people. We've gone over that already. I don't think that Death Gun is any of the three new people that are in there. I think we have at least two people in this tournament who have been mainstays in this game, who have been laying low for this long. So it's not going to be the new people that Shinon doesn't recognize. It's going to be the people that she knows from the periphery that wouldn't raise red flags as being Bob participants.
Yes, but also keep in mind that whatever character it is, if your theory is right, their character has to have it where the tattoo is not showing when they play it as their regular character in the game.
You could have a tattoo back here. You could have it on your shoulder.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think
that's a moot point. But anyway, guys, thank you so, so much for tuning in this week. We are so excited to be covering next week's episodes as well next time. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.